As most of you know, Boat Eldridge, I had to find out his name. All I've ever heard him called was Boat. I've never heard anybody call him Eldridge. I had to ask what his name really was. But the Lord took him home Thursday evening around 6:30. And I thought when I heard that, our brother is well now. How fitting is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And our brother has experienced that. And Saturday morning when I came over here to the study to work on Romans chapter 3, I kept thinking about him and Sally. And I thought this morning I would rather do a sermon as a memorial to Boat. You all knew him a lot more longer and more than I did. I've known him for the last 3 years. We've been down there several times. And the one impression, as I was talking to Sally yesterday, the one impression that I got when I was around him was that he's one of the most unassuming persons I ever met in my life. He never sought, and when I was around him, any attention whatsoever. And he impressed me with how kind and gentle he was. You all knew him, but that just immediately came out when you meet somebody, it doesn't take long for you to have some impression. And my impression of him was that he's very unassuming and very gentle, very kind. They had told me a story. He was a prison guard. He told me a story of him bringing those prisoners home and feeding them. And one of them he committed murder. And Boat brought him home and fed him. And he would bring him home and take care of him, you know, and help him along the way. I mean, that's the grace of God. And that to me, when they told me that story, that just painted a picture as to what God had made out of that man. But I wanted to bring a message this morning concerning his hope, which is now a reality. And our hope. But now, let me just say this. Tomorrow, his body will be buried. And I say his body. The first time I wrote this, I put down, Boat will be buried. No, he won't. His body will be buried. And I thought of this. When they buried that body that he lived in on this earth, all his troubles are buried. They won't come back. All the troubles and the heartaches that I've had in this body is going to be buried someday. And that's going to be buried with them. But his body would be buried at the fairgrounds, at Fairground Road in Dunn, North Carolina, Harnett Devotional Gardens. It's going to be a graveside service at 1 o'clock. It's going to be very short. They wanted it very, very simple and very short. And I can do that. I can do that. Well, in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, there are three graces spoken of. Faith, hope, and love. And the word hope is very powerful. I don't know of anything more powerful than hope. When you give a person hope, you can't defeat them. You can't defeat them. A person who has hope cannot be defeated. And a person who has no hope is already defeated. Already defeated. And I want this morning for us to look at this very powerful grace that we have by the Spirit of God. And that's the hope that we have in the gospel. Now, when we read the word hope in the Word of God, we're not talking about a wish. It's not a wish list. It is a real expectation of God doing just as He said He would. That's what our hope is built on. Our hope is built on the faithfulness of God, the truthfulness of God, that God will do exactly what He said. You know, the Lord said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." We have real hope of rest when we come to Christ because He said, "I'll give you rest." He said that. It's not a wish list. It's a real expectation of God doing what He said He would do. Now, I know this. I know that many hope in things that they have no foundation for. The rich young ruler, he came to Christ on the grounds of keeping the law. And he said to Christ, after the Lord quoted to him some commandments, he said, "All these I've kept from my youth up." That was his hope. That was the very foundation of his hope, was his obedience. That's a false hope. And I'm sure he got that from his parents. He probably grew up in a home where they told him if he'd be a good little boy, he'd get to go to heaven. And he grew up thinking that he was a good little boy. And he became a good man. And he in believing that, that was his hope. And that's a hope, that's a false hope. There are some who believe because of a certain denomination or church they belong to that they will be saved. That's their hope. Some believe in a profession, and I thought of a particular person. They believe in a profession that they've made years ago, and that's their hope. I know a man who made a profession when he was a young man. And he became a drunk, an alcoholic, and he died that way. He lived and died an alcoholic. And the Word of God said that no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about people who are given to that. A profession is not salvation. It's a possession. It's a possession. You can profess, I can profess all I want to, and that will not save me. But if I end up with Christ in me, the hope of glory, then I'm saved. When God saves a man or a woman, He makes a real change. He says, "Sin will not have dominion over you." It'll not have dominion over you. But the only hope there is the hope that the gospel gives us. It's a gospel hope. And what is the hope of the gospel that Paul is speaking of here in verse 23 of Colossians chapter 1? Well, first of all, it is a hope of being saved. Being saved. I said this to a young man years ago when I was a young man. And he made fun of me. He went around the shop making fun of me of being saved. He made fun of that word, saved. Well, that's a Bible word. That is a Bible word. And our hope is to be saved. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, to be saved from sin. Sin is against God. It is against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Sin is against God and sin is evil. It is pure, pure evil. That's what it is. It's to be saved from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the dominion of sin. In Matthew 1:21, it is written, And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save. So that's a Bible word. He shall save his people from their sins. It doesn't say he will save his people from the Roman army. Or from this disease or that disease. No, he will save them from their sins. Our sins is a problem. We have a sin issue. And I need the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. So the gospel hope is to be saved from sin. And then it's a hope that when we die, we shall be raised again from the dead. So many people, they want to know about the afterlife. Is there life after death? Well, I'll tell you this, it better be life before death. If not, it won't be. No, it'll be death after death. It'll be the second death. It's called hell. It's called the lake of fire. There better be life before death. Well, there won't be any. Because Solomon said, as the tree falls, so shall it lie. But we have a hope. Just as a boat, he had a hope. Now his hope is a reality. We have a hope of being raised again from the dead. Christ said this, he that believes in me shall never die. But this body has to die. This body has to die. But I'm going to have a new body, and you're going to have a new body. All those who believe the gospel, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a new body. You're not going to be left in death. Someone said this, we have a life to live, we have a death to die, and an eternity to spend. It is written in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, then after this, the judgment. But death is an appointment. You can't miss it. You know, I've missed doctor appointments. Vicki, make me a doctor appointment. I couldn't tell you how many times I've missed it or changed it. But this is an appointment made by God. And God keeps his appointments. It's appointed. The scripture says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Here's what's interesting. You know, I talked to Sally. Let's see, I think it was Tuesday. And I think it was Monday night. She said, the nurse said that he had 2 hours to live. That was Monday night. He had 2 hours to live. And she went home. Well, I was expecting to hear something Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday. And it's Thursday evening. And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, our time. Now listen, there's a time to be born. And he's talking here about not just, you know, our parents coming together and, you know, and we're born. And no, there's a time when God brings everyone into this world. They have given life. There are no accidental birth. Someone said to me one time about their youngest child. They were in their 40s. And they said that was an accident. I said, no, it wasn't. It might have been for you. But there's nothing comes into this world by accident. Life is not given by accident. Life doesn't just happen. God has to give life. The scripture says there in John that Christ lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No one's in this world by accident. And there's a time to be born. There's a time to be born of God. If you're a child of God, there's a time to be born. A time in your life. I listen, mark down to the second, just like your first birth. You know, I think it was Jason was, I'm thinking 2 weeks later than we thought or 2 weeks earlier. I can't remember. But he's never been on time since anyway. See, he was late this morning. Wasn't he? He came in late this morning. But he was 2 weeks early, 2 weeks late. No, he came when God purposed him to come. He came when God purposed it. Time to be born. And listen, there's a time to die. There's a time to die. There's a time, I mean, marked on God's calendar to the second that you'll leave this life. The nurse said he had 2 hours. No, no. You don't have control over that. You don't have control over that. He's not going to die. And you're not going to die. We're not going to die until it's that time. Time to die. My dad told my brother, he said, I'm trying to keep my feet above ground as long as I can. I said, you have nothing to do with it, Dad. You have nothing to do with it. And you ought to know better. And he does know better. But we make statements like that. You know, we make statements that's off the wall. But right down to the second. Spurgeon said this, the young may die, but the old must. The young may die, but the old must. We must die. This is a fact we all have to face. But for the believer, it's the best day of your life, isn't it? That is the day you are ushered into the presence of God. That is the day, like it was 6:30 there Thursday. That's the day boats, hope had given way to reality. He looked into the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, trying to just wrap my mind around that is more than I can even begin to think of. To look into the face of the God of heaven and earth. God said, no man shall see my face and live. But in Christ, we can look into the face of God and live. Was it Philip? It was one of the disciples there when the Lord said in John 14, he said, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You're looking at him. You're looking at him. And now, Boat is looking at him in reality. In reality, he's looking at him. Our hope is to be raised from the dead. Our hope is to be with the Lord. Our hope is to be there with Christ. Complete, body, soul, and spirit. And rid of this world once and for all. And then, this gospel hope gives us a hope, and I've already touched on it, of seeing the Lord. I just touched on that. Christ said this, I will see you again. That's what he said to his disciples, I will see you again. We look for our Lord's return. He said in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. He came for Boat Thursday night, Thursday evening. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he? Well, he's seated at God's right hand. He's in that place that he said he would prepare. Our Lord went away to prepare a place. A place. A cabin, a house. No, a place of acceptance. He went away to prepare a place of acceptance for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. And I'm going to take you to that place that I have prepared for you once I have prepared you for the place. Once I've prepared you for it, I'm going to come and get you and take you to that place I prepared for you. Brethren, we are going to a prepared place. You know, when God created Adam, he created the Garden of Eden first. He prepared a place first. When before Adam was the last thing created. God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything that is. And then he created Adam and brought him into the garden and told him to take it, dress it, and take care of it. Adam did not do one thing in the garden. He didn't create one thing in that garden. It was all done. And this place that we're going to, the Lord said to that thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." This place we are going to is a prepared place. It's ready. It's ready for us. Boat's place was ready for him. Here's your place. Here's your place. Listen to Job 19, verse 20, verse 25 and 27. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." My Redeemer is alive. He's not going to be alive. He's not going to be born somewhere down the road. He's alive. My Redeemer is God. He knew that. He knew God to be his Redeemer. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body..." You know your own, the destruction of your own body is within itself. "After my skin worms destroy this body." This corruptible, Paul said in Corinthians 15, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This is corruptible. This flesh is corruptible. And the skin worms are going to eat it up one day. "Yet in my flesh, that new body." You know, the scripture said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But now flesh and bone, Christ said, "Touch me. The spirit has not flesh and bone." We don't need blood. We don't need it. The scripture says that the life of the flesh is what? It's in the blood. Well, the life of that new flesh, that new body, is in Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. That's where it is. It's not in the blood. Not in the blood flows through these veins. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. "Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes, I'll look at him face to face. My eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me." I'm going to stand in a new body and I'm going to see my Redeemer with my own eyes. Nobody's going to have to tell me about him. Nobody's going to have to stand in a pulpit and preach to me and tell me about him. I'm going to see him with my own eyes face to face. And then the hope of the gospel is found in who it addresses. It addresses sinners. God came into this world to save sinners. That's the kind of people he's going to save. He's not going to save good because there's not any. There's not any good. If you're really truly good, you wouldn't need God to save you, would you? If you're really truly good. That's why the Lord said there's none good, no, not one. None but God. That's what our Lord said. It addresses sinners. Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I didn't call to come the self-righteous. He's talking to the Pharisees. They thought they were righteous. They said, "We be not sinners." Well, if you had been a sinner, the Lord would have saved you. He died for sinners. Our Lord said this, "The whole need not a physician, but the sick." I don't feel sick today, and I'm not going to the doctor. But now, if I was sick, I'd be looking up the physician's number. I'd be calling him. It says in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Sinners. "Of whom he says, I'm chief." One time he wouldn't say that. He'd choke to death. He'd choke and go to hell before he'd say that. But now he says, I'm the chief of them. The scripture says in Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. It says in Matthew 11, He that labor and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. And then the hope of the gospel is one of rest. It's one of rest. It is written in Psalm 16, 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Hope. I'm going to rest in hope. I'm going to lay down someday or some night. And I'm going to leave this world. Scripture calls it sleep. The Lord spoke of it as sleep. And here He said, my flesh shall rest in hope. And then this hope of the gospel, it's the hope of being with the Lord forever. Not just a visit. Forever and ever and ever. Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, and is to be present with the Lord forever. I'm not coming back here. You know, how many times you see these athletes, they'll win something, they'll say, well, your mom was looking down on you, you know, your dad was looking down on somebody. Boat ain't looking down on us. He ain't looking at this world. This, you know how depressing it'd be to look down on this place? The scripture says that these former things will not come into mind. That's what it says. These former things will not come into mind. It says that we will have the mind of Christ. And when we go to be with the Lord, we will be there forever. We'll have nothing to do with this world again. It's over. And then this hope, this gospel hope, is the hope of what I shall be. What I shall be. Listen, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, right now, not going to be. Right now, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. We're not. That hasn't happened yet. As far as our experience of going into the Lord's presence. We don't know what we shall be. But we know. Here's what we do know. That when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him in a glorified body. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable. We'll be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And as He is, that's the way we will be. As I read to you in Colossians there in 1 chapter 1, 21 and 22. And you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. This is us. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Can you imagine going into the presence of God? God who said, I will by no means clear the guilty. You imagine going into His presence, unblameable, unreprovable, and holy in His sight. That's the only way you can go in there. It's the only way. And then Paul gives us a sum and substance of this hope. In 1 Timothy 1:1, let me read it to you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope is a person. It's a person. Our hope is not it's not in the Romans road, and we followed it, and you know, we did what we were supposed to do, and now we're saved. No, that's not it. It's not a denomination. It's not a decision made. It's in a person called Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Listen to this scripture in Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That is how Christ is my hope. He is God with me. Not against me. It's God with me. It could easily been written, God against me. It could have easily been written. But when it was written, it's written, God for us, with us. Listen to Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for me in salvation and saving me from my sins and bringing me to glory, who can withstand God? Nobody. No one. Listen here. And now, Lord, in Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. My hope is going to heaven. My hope is this or that. No, my hope is in you. Psalm 71:5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You're my hope. Psalm 130, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, not the benefits of the Lord, the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. We don't hope in the benefits, we hope in the one who gives them. And I'm going to wind this down. What hope is there? What real hope is there in Jesus Christ? That he is God incarnate. That he really is God, the one I have offended, the one I have sinned against, that he is God in the flesh. And he is the one who obeyed the law for me. He's the one who died the death I deserved. He's the one who raised from the grave. He's the one who's seated at God's right hand. God, listen, God is seated at God's right hand. Can you imagine? God is seated at God's right hand. In the flesh, there is a man, a God-man, seated in glory. My representative. The representative of every one of God's children. Here's my hope in Christ, is that in him I'm complete. Scripture says in Colossians, in him you are complete. We don't have to provide anything. Don't bring anything. In Christ we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have in Christ everything God demands. Everything God demanded, he provided for us in his Son. And then last of all, the foundation of this hope is the Word of God. If we have a hope, what's our foundation for it? What is the foundation? Paul talks about giving a reason of the hope that's within you. The foundation for it. The foundation of our hope is the Word of God and the promises of God. They are the foundation of all that we hope for. And now, after saying that, let me read a few of the a portion of the Word of God to you. In John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's a promise. That's a foundation right there. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Lord, you said, whoever calls on you, they would be saved. Lord, I call on you. I'm calling. In Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Lord, I come. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And all this hope that I've been talking about is a good hope through grace. That's what it says. It's a good hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. If your hope If your hope is Jesus Christ, you have a good hope, and God's given it to you through His grace. And our brother who walked by faith, who had this hope, his hope is now given way to sight. It's given way to sight. And he's well. He's well. Never be bothered by sickness, pain, and sorrow. What a day that'll be. What a day that'll be when it comes our time. All right.